Liverpool safely through an 11-2 aggregate. 6-1 winners on the night. In the opening 14 minutes of this game, Liverpool were 4-0 up. They were irresistible. Mo Salah playing 90 minutes and going into the books for Liverpool. The first player to score 20 goals in all competitions, 7 seasons in a row. Liverpool made a great start. Dominic Szoboszlai down the right, drove in the cross. Darwin Nunez, great finish for goal number 17. Then Bobby Clark, great pressing by Salah. Clark scoring his first goal for Liverpool and his first European start for Liverpool. And then a minute later, straight from kickoff, we're in again. Clark again, great pressing. This time Mo Salah scores. And then Cody Gakpo, set up by Salah, scores again. Dominic Szoboszlai rifled in. In between, Birinčević putting the goal back. And then Gakpo, lovely back heel from an Elliott shot. What a night. Liverpool 6, Sparta Prague 1.
What a night it was. Liverpool earning an emphatic 11-2 aggregate victory over Sparta Prague, comfortably booking their place in the Europa League quarterfinals. That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of events at Anfield. I'm Mark Benstead, and you're listening to The Reaction. We're bringing the thoughts of Jurgen Klopp, Cody Gakpo and Dominic Szoboszlai over the course of this podcast. First, though, to our pundits, former Reds Stephen Warnock and Natasha Dowie. Natasha, to you firstly, it was ruthless from the Reds tonight.
I think tonight again shows why Jurgen is, in my opinion, the best manager in the world. I think a lot of us, or myself personally, thought maybe he would rotate heavily, maybe rest a few players. But I think tonight it shows why it's a good reason that he started strong. You know, the game was won within 13 minutes pretty much. And then obviously then he was allowed to rotate, rest a few players, gave Virgil a few minutes. I think he's the type of player that actually likes to get minutes and touches on the ball. Probably didn't need to play him, but some players, I was like that. I love to get touches and momentum. And Mo, injury free, 3 assists, 1 goal, as he does. You know, he's just incredible. You know, a lot of players have to build their way back into kind of form and fitness, but he's just such a machine mentally and physically that he can just produce kind of that performance. So overall, six different goal scorers. I think probably the only negative, if we're going to be picky, is a clean sheet would have been lovely. I think that's something we've struggled with this season, but yeah, the perfect night.
It's a feature of this group of players, Steve. They're all very good players, but what they have got is a desire, a hunger, and that never let up at all tonight. There was a real just from the get-go to go and win the ball, chase things down. Even once they got 4 goals up in the space of 13, 40 minutes, it was still there afterwards.
Yeah, I think you've got to be ruthless, haven't you? Often you feel like a sense of, you feel for the other team, but you can only beat what's in front of you, and you can't feel sorry for them, because as soon as you start to take your foot off the gas a little bit, then you're leaving yourself open for injuries where you don't go into tackles properly, or you leave it, you short a pass to someone and then you put them in a difficult position. So the actual professionalism tonight was top draw. It really was. They were awful. Yeah. Let's not beat around the bush. They're a championship team at best. But you can only beat what's in front of you. That was a routine exercise. That was a training game tonight. That was so comfortable. But it was about giving players minutes, giving them time that they needed on the pitch to get confidence up, whatever it might have been, for youngsters to get the opportunity to play as well. So, all in all, it's a great training exercise.
Six goals, yeah. Six different scorers. It couldn't have gone much better. We got a bit of everything. There was some good quality in there at times. As Stephen rightly says, Sparta didn't deliver tonight. They were off it. We expected a bit better. But again, some of the quality around what Liverpool did in that early flurry was to be admired.
It was. You know, I think from throw-ins, quick throw-ins, want to get the ball back in play, tempo play, pass, weight of pass. On the counter, we looked a real threat. You know you're always going to have that with Mo and Nunez in the team. But I think a big thing that actually stood out for me, there was one moment in the game when we were 4-0 up, Nunez has tracked back, got the crowd going. That's 4-0 up. You know, the game's done and dusted. You know, you can't teach that kind of mentality. And I think this is where we've got a really special team and really special individual players. I was really impressed. Second half, obviously, it's going to drop off a little bit. A lot of changes is going to sometimes kill the momentum of the game. Like we said, the game was won. But I was so impressed. I mean, I felt like every time I sat down, I had to stand up again because I was applauding. I've never seen a first kind of 13, 20 minutes like that before. And you know, if you're a Sparta Prague player, that's like your worst nightmare. You know, luckily for me, I've never been in that position. But, I mean, that is like, struggle.
But what I don't understand is you're going up against Gakpo, Nunez and Salah. Why are you trying to play out from the back? You're away from home and you think you can suddenly do what Manchester City couldn't do at the weekend, who are arguably the best team in Europe.
Well, they are the European champions. And looking at their formation set up in that 4-4-2, you know, straight away the front two are getting bypassed. So you're almost like two players are out of the game. Yeah. They didn't get in, they didn't get compact. You know, I'm kind of waiting to see a reaction. I know the manager sometimes has to make those decisions, but as a player, these are experienced international players that are playing on European level. You've got to see that. Like, you're coming to Anfield with a big scoreline anyway. First 5-10 minutes, you have to stay in the game, but not concede. You know, to concede four goals within 13 minutes, you know, that's not okay.
I just wonder if it's a dealing with the magnitude of the occasion, the atmosphere, the pressure. I did the game when they played Ibrox earlier this year, and they were done in the first half in a similar fashion. They had a poor first half and couldn't make it back in the second half. Different scales, of course. You're not facing the same quality, but still a deficit to overcome, and couldn't quite get back into it. And they were all over the place. You kind of felt for him on the sidelines when he took his jacket off, I think, at 3-0, 4-0, and stood in the sand and thought, what do you do as a coach in that situation?
Well, listen, he's not going to be the first manager or the last manager to come here and struggle against a Jurgen Klopp team who knows how to press, when to press, little triggers, how to do them. And you think when you watch a video, oh, we can bypass them in this way, but they're adaptable on the pitch so quickly, because no matter how many videos you've watched, you've missed something at some point, because they'll find a way of pressing you or they'll find a way of cutting through you. Listen, I'm probably doing them a disservice, because Liverpool are brilliant at what they do. They're phenomenal at closing down, they're phenomenal at sort of the speed in which they move the ball, the individual quality that they've got. They can't live with it, can they? And they're not going to be the last team that comes here and has that problem.
What I enjoyed was when Brmančević got a goal back, he ran and grabbed the ball at the back of the net and ran back to the halfway. I thought, that's admirable. Keep going through the motions, lad. Give the guys in the opposite end something to get behind.
I'm a Klinsmann. Let's do it properly. Come on, mate. You've just scored at Anfield in the Cop. There's not many people who score in the Cop. Go and enjoy it.
But you know what? Actually, on that, though, the fans, you've got to give credit to their fans. Like, at one point, I was actually watching them tossing the ball around, but not once did they stop singing, you know, and credit to them. They've come here probably knowing it was a mission impossible task, but they kept singing, kept supporting their team, you know, so, yeah, that was nice to see.
It's one thing that stood out, actually, from the Europa League run. Now, maybe it's the novelty of coming to Anfield, maybe it's the fact that they don't really expect too much, but every group of away fans, LASK, Toulouse, USG and tonight Sparta Prague, have been very vocal and really added to the atmosphere, I felt, through the course of the games.
They know they're not going to come back here.
Well,
that's maybe
the reality of it.
It is. Yeah. That's the way you've got to look at it as a fan, though, because fans look at certain grounds that they want to go to or that are achievable. They've probably never thought, we're going to play Liverpool, because they always think Liverpool are going to be in the Champions League, and rightly so.
Yeah, they probably thought, the only time I'm going to go to Anfield is on the stadium tour, realistically. And then they get a chance to come and watch their team there, and why not embrace it? And to be fair, a couple of those teams in the group stage gave a little bit of a fright at times at Anfield, but none could quite get the job done here, and that was very much the case for Sparta tonight. Picking out individuals, it's difficult in a game like this when so many players are used, but we can look at Bobby Clark. He scores on this stage, he gets to start on this stage. Big night for him. And he looks like a player who might have long-term legs in the team. You never know when young players come in and how long they'll hang around before they come and make a little cameo and then get moved on. They've done their job and they don't quite continue. He might have a chance.
Absolutely. I'll sit next to Jay Spearing watching the game, who's been working with him, you know, in the 21s, you know, playing obviously in that player coach role, and he 100% backed that. He said, you know, he's got great potential and could really stay in this first team. I think, you know, he's probably not massive built in size, but actually uses strength really well, and he's quite clever. You know, he doesn't have to get into physical 1v1 battles because he's already one step ahead, and he took his goal really well. I hope he's okay, because it looked like he hurt himself, and clever or sensible to take him off, so cross fingers with that. But again, you know, we're talking about the academy, you know, we're talking about the youngsters. They just haven't disappointed again. Another debut for an academy player coming on at the end there, and yeah, it's just great positives all round today.
Yeah, Mozlowski was the latest cab off the rank, and it's been a very long rank in recent years. I can't quite remember exactly how many it's been, but it's well into double figures. On Clark, what he's got, I think, and what a lot of these players have got, he's got a confidence, not quite an arrogance, But he believes in himself. He knows he's a talented player.
Yeah.
He knows, or he feels he can play on this stage. And that's a big thing if you're to succeed at a club of this stature.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me was I was at the Nottingham Forest-Liverpool game where he started the game after the high of being in the Carabao Cup final. And I thought he struggled a little bit just to almost like that overconfidence where you've got to move the ball quicker. You've got to be half a second or a second quicker in the Premier League. That's the difference. And especially away from home, because teams are more organised, they're more ferocious. Whereas when they come here, they sit back and allow you that space and just hope to camp out. But when you go away from home, that's where you've got to battle. And I thought he come up short a tiny bit in that game. And it's then, how does he respond to that? The great thing about Jürgen is that he always gives you a second chance, or he always gives you two, three chances down the line. I always go back to the Trent Alexander-Arnold one. Everyone knows it. Away at Old Trafford, Marcus Rashford terrorised him. And everyone was like, he's not good enough. He's not good enough. And you go, well, he sees him every day, so let him judge him properly. And he gives him that opportunity to learn from their mistakes. And I think it'll be everything will be safe for these young lads, that they'll get chances. And he'll get Fred back in at the right time. And then tonight was the right time to put him back in. I thought it was a really good performance. What I loved about the goal was the fact that the forward three are pressing and he's anticipating the next press beyond it. So he's anticipating that breaking down and gets in on it. That's confidence. That's a confidence in a different way, knowing that you can press and you're going in behind the forward three. It was a smart finish as well.
It certainly was a goal for Bobby Clark tonight, a goal as well for Cody Gakpo. Let's get his thoughts on what unfolded here at Anfield. He is with Rob Jones.
Well, Cody, that's the way to start a game, isn't it? That you came out, flew out the blocks with a real intensity and intent to get this job done in some style.
Yeah, I think it was a fantastic first 20 minutes. Three or four goals, I think, in the first 22 minutes. Yeah, that's how you like to start a game. I think it was amazing. Good pressing, good, beautiful attacks, good goals. Yeah, well, yeah, that's all we wished for at the beginning and became reality. So,
I guess it can be easy to, when you've won a first leg so convincingly, for it all to get a little bit sloppy and think that the job is done. But there was just never any sign of that from the team. And it probably says anything about the mindset of the group right now.
Yeah, I think we're very hungry to win every game, to play always our best football that we can do. Doesn't matter what the score was in the first leg. Obviously, it's another game we can play, another game we can win. Play good football, have a good evening with all the guys. So I think we're really enjoying it at the moment. But yeah, we have to stay focused and keep going like this. And yeah,
tell me about your second goal. Well, I'm assuming it's your second goal. You're claiming that, right?
Yeah, I heard it was mine, so...
Did you touch it?
Yeah, I did.
You did. And is that something just instinctive, that you see it coming towards you and you just give it a little bit of a flick?
Yeah, obviously it was a good shot from half. I was personally not really sure if it went on goal or not. And then I just touched it a little bit and then it went in. So, yeah.
I feel like you might have to sort of buy him a coffee or something tomorrow, because I think he would have wanted that one, because as you said, he did strike it nicely.
Yeah, obviously maybe I'll buy him something tomorrow.
It's been a difficult few months, as everyone known, with the injuries. It must be nice to see tonight Dom back getting some minutes in his legs, Mo looking as sharp and like he's never been away, that everyone's coming back at just the right time.
Oh yeah, I think it's very important to towards the end of the season, when you're still in the race for everything, that everybody's coming back fit and sharp as ever. So yeah, what you said is true. Mo looking good as always. Dom, another, I think, full game in his legs, a goal, well played. So I think that's all we need, and from here on we can go forward, look forward to Sunday, and then to the rest of the season.
We compared to maybe this time last year when you were not too long into Liverpool career, things I think for the whole team were pretty frustrating at times. Where you are now, where every game seems to mean so much and there are still four trophies up for grabs, is some place to be.
Yeah, I think we are in a good place, in a good moment. But nowhere yet. So yeah, we have to stay focused, keep ourselves fit, working together. Hopefully no injuries anymore, and then it can be a really special season.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Cody.
Yeah, Cody correcting me from earlier, not six scorers tonight. Six goals, five scorers. He got two goals on the night in the end, just about. It's interesting, I was just looking then to see how many games he'd feature in this season. He's played like 41 times. In my head, I'm like, he hasn't started that much. He hasn't been involved. But actually, he's been involved constantly. And it's just indicative of how Jürgen has moved players in and out of the team constantly in and around games, but also through the course of games as well.
Yeah, I think Jürgen even admitted that potentially he affected Gakpo's form with regards to maybe putting him into that midfield role. Yeah, I think he's got a lot of development. He's effective, but I still think there's a lot to come from him. I think tonight he should have had maybe two or three goals, to be honest. Could have been more clinical. But I think he's an honest player, you know, and I think that's what playing for Liverpool, first and foremost, you need to work hard, and he does that, you know. And then I think over time, he's still young. You know, we talk about Szoboszlai. These are players that are going to grow, you know. So I think, yeah, there's more to come from Gakpo. But again, professional, two goals, you know, that's kind of what you're there for as a striker, to put the ball in the back of the net, and he did that tonight.
Yeah, and he's a player who keeps contributing. And that's also been a theme this season, is people play their part when they're called upon. Yeah. The forward players get goals when they need to. Nobody's kind of not delivered when asked.
Yeah, I think if you look at Gakpo's role within the team, it's the supporting act. Mm-hmm. And he's got to know that, because if you're going into a game, i.e. a Manchester United, Manchester City, an Everton game, your forward three is Diaz, Nunez and Salah, and he's the support. If Jota comes back, he goes in front of Gakpo as well, and it becomes a choice out of them four, and he's the one behind them. But he's great at coming in and just doing his little bit every now and again. Yeah, he's not at the level of those guys, but I agree with Tash. I think he can get better. I think he needs to get better as well, because I think there's sometimes a little bit of a breakdown when he plays. He's not as quick in and around the area as them. He slows it down a little bit, but that's his style. That's what he's been bought in. On the flip side of things, I look at it and just go, he's a great deal for the club. When he came in, was it like 45 million, roughly? Yeah. And you look at that in today's market and you go, from what he's adding, the contributions he makes, I think it's a brilliant deal for the club, because he can play so many different positions.
He also came in at a time when he was thrust straight into things and had to deliver a lot in a short space of time. I just wonder, in terms of his role, you're saying he's sort of the support act. On occasions, is he a bit more than that, though, in as much as there have been games when Jürgen's deliberately picked him because his style is different? And Darwin's been maybe the player who's been on the bench because Cody will play a bit deeper and come and take the ball?
Yeah, but I think Darwin's just had that period of settling into English lifestyle, the language and things like that, whereas Gakpo knows it straight away, knows the like Dutch and English lifestyles are not massively different. The language barrier is not a problem. Whereas when you look at Nunez, he's got to settle, and he's had a tough time with various things. So I think once he was fully up to speed, he'd always take the sort of the first position, if you like, him between him and Jota.
And I suppose ultimately, though, you know, if you are the term support, if you are one of the secondary figures within this squad.
I'm trying to think of a more.
If you're one of the other players out with maybe the first choice 11, if we call it that, you're still going to play an awful lot. You know, I go back to the point, over 40 appearances this season. One, because the manager rotates his squad, trusts his players. Mm-hmm. But two, because you also play a lot of games here, because they're a very successful team. You know, again, I go back to the point where we were 19 games potentially still left ahead of the kickoff today in the season, and we're halfway through March. Mm-hmm. Not many clubs have that many games to play, so it's a great place to play your football.
Absolutely, and I think the game is changing now. I think I'm not trying to make us feel old, Stephen, but when we played and when I played, it was 90 minutes every week. You know, the team didn't rotate. You know, when you didn't play, it's because you had a bad performance and you got dropped. You know, so now the modern game's changed. Rotation happens a lot. It's happening in the women's game as well as the men. So you're spot on. You're going to get minutes. Yes, you kind of know who your guaranteed starters are in the big games, but it's very rarely that you have a solid starting 11. And, you know, and I think with Jürgen, and obviously moving forward with whoever the new manager is, I think at this club, you do get given your opportunity, and it's whether or not then you can take it. So, yeah, 100%. I think you're always... You can see tonight even, the players are fighting for a position today. The way they started that game, those players are fighting for a starting 11 come this weekend. You know, they all want to play, even the kids. I know for a fact, Jadon Dans, you know, people like that have come on and you know, got two goals, he'll be wanting to get involved. He'll be wanting to push Gakpo and be getting in ahead of him. So I think more competition, the better.
Either just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and their careers on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing for Ajax. And there's lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now. Do make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's. Well, Dominic Szoboszlai scored his seventh goal for Liverpool this evening. Let's hear from him now. He is with Rob.
Dom, well done. So much of the hard work had been done in the first leg last week. Was the key thing being professional tonight?
Yeah, we speak before the game even started that we should not think about the result, what was last week. We should just get into a new game and we have to win again. And yeah, we showed I think how ready we were.
From what you spoke about before the game, was the start the perfect example of that, to be 3-4-0 up so quickly?
Yeah, I think probably they came here to enjoy and to do something special if they are allowed to do, but we just showed quickly that here's nothing to do and scored quick four goals and just came out also second half and showed also that we are ready and we have energy.
The manager spoke yesterday about this being important to just keep the rhythm going. Where are you with your rhythm and how fit you're feeling at the moment?
To be honest, I've been fitter before, but I'm coming to the shape where I was and just needed games. So with the games, it's going to come everything.
Has it been tough for you? Because I know that probably a couple of weeks ago you felt ready to play, but to try and be a little bit patient and just to make sure that you're good to go for the rest of the season.
Yeah, like after my first injury, maybe it was a quick comeback. So we learned from it and now I was not in the rush. I just wanted to be healthy. And now I'm ready to go.
How exciting is it to be at this stage of the season where it seems that every match carries so much importance?
It's very good. It's never boring for us, neither probably for the fans as well. It's hard, but we have to be ready for all the competitions. We are everywhere there, fighting for the title. That's why we play football, and that's what probably everybody loves.
Another reason why you play football is to play games like Manchester United on Sunday, and perhaps everyone will feel not the result or performance from the game at Anfield earlier in the season and the chance to put that right.
What does it mean, right? It was a 0-0, and we had garbage, I think, 35 chances, but now we have to score them.
Thank you. Cheers, Dom.
Dominic Szoboszlai, we spoke about him pre-match today. Again, a player with real ability, physicality, endurance, and a player who could be really important between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I think we spoke about him earlier. He's still not finding that form that we saw at the start, but we're critical, aren't we, of our players? We always want more. We always want improvement and development, and he was so good. I think he took us all by surprise at the beginning of the season, exceeded expectations. Obviously, injury has knocked him back a bit, and it's going to take time. You know, we've got to be patient. And again, similar to a Gakpo, he's an honest player. He will always give 100%. He's got the legs. He puts himself around. He's got his goal today. And with more minutes, that will come. The form will come, you know. So, again, someone that I'm very excited about with his future at Liverpool.
I just wonder, from his point of view, do you think he wonders, I should have maybe not started quite so well? Because he set the bar so high for himself in those first 7, 8, 9 games. Yeah. It's a difficult act to live up to, and I'm sure he will do, but everyone was like, Tash said, wow, this guy's sensational.
I think the big thing with him is there's no problem with starting quick. The issue with the Premier League is maintaining that. And you talk about a player being durable. That's the challenge for him now, is like to be ready for like a Mohamed Salah. I know he's had this period now, but over a period of, 7 years, 8 years at Liverpool, he's been available pretty much all the time. And that's the challenge, is what do they do off the pitch? What do they eat? What do they drink? How do they prepare themselves? That's the next step of being able to play week in, week out in the Premier League. But it's not just the Premier League. You're at Liverpool, so you're asked to play in cup competitions. You're asked to play in Europa League or Champions League, whatever it might be next year. But you've got to be available for those games. But you can also not let your standards drop. And I think he's capable. I absolutely love him. I think he's brilliant. I think he's the type of player that we needed in midfield. He'll add a different dimension. I also think he was affected a little bit by... Oh, I think the team was affected a little bit when Trent and him were playing on that right-hand side, and then I think he got injured first, didn't he? Then Trent missed him when he wasn't playing. That triangle at the beginning of the season between Trent, Salah and Szoboszlai was unbelievable. No one could mark it because they were thinking, well, Szoboszlai's comfortable playing as a right winger. Salah then goes in centre-forward because he used to play there for Leipzig, playing in that high, wide right position. So he never found it uncomfortable. But he's also comfortable playing really deep and setting play off from there. That rotation was incredible. And the great thing is, it's still got to come back. Yeah. And you think later on in the season, adding that quality in where you've got Trent and Szoboszlai into that midfield area, because listen, at the end of the season, you're going to want them players on the pitch. Players who've played in big game situations, who can open up a defence and change the dynamic of a game. They're the type of players you want, but he's brilliant.
You were talking about that endurance element, that the physicality, that the levels required in the Premier League. I just wonder, the back end of your Premier League time, had you noticed a difference in the levels going up physically of what was expected within the league, or was it always of a level where you thought, you know, you've got to be at it?
To a certain degree, yeah, but I think the thing was, you always had to be at it, and we always got given sort of feedback on what was happening. But we only had one fitness trainer or two fitness trainers. These guys have got a full team. I mean, you look at the guys on the bench in the round it, or before the game, or when they're at training, and you're thinking, there's a team behind the team. We used to have a manager, an assistant manager, a coach, a goalkeeping coach. There would be four people, and then your fitness trainer, and that was it. And then you'd have probably two physios, two masseurs. Well, that's all changed, because this is a business. And it's getting players out on the pitch, making sure that they're ready to play week in, week out. It has got better, but it's because it's facilitated to get better behind the scenes. The care behind the scenes is just incredible. I mean, the guys are getting given chefs and things and people to cook the food to make sure that the weight's right, or they need to drop weight or add weight on, make sure that they're preparing, they're fueled up for the games. I wish I'd have had that. I mean, that's just different level. But that's all just becoming the norm these days. It's frightening. It really is.
I had a chef. Not to be an athlete, just because I'm lazy and I couldn't bother cooking. That'd be sensational. But that, there's a serious element to that for this season as well now. Given the workload that's on the players, given the intensity of the schedule, when other teams' season will be sort of petering out to a degree, they'll have one game a week now, a lot of teams, for the rest of the season. Not for Liverpool. Liverpool are two games a week minimum. And bearing in mind there's an Everton game to slot in somewhere, there could be another game against Fulham to get relocated to accommodate the FA Cup as well, somewhere, and there's no spaces for that, pretty much. How the players recover, how they are treated, how they get the conditioning work pre and post-match is essential. So that all that stuff becomes more important the more successful you are.
Yeah, it's a science now. You know, I only recently retired, but it is. It's like how many kilometres you've ran to the point of high speed running. You know, you have to get that in training. You know, even Virgil, I think it was yesterday, doing individual training. So sometimes they don't join in with the team training. It's so specific now. Maybe actually get offloaded and you're on the watt bike, or, you know, in the gym, you know. And to be honest as well, we're not just talking about game time. No one plays at the intensity Liverpool plays at with regards to the press. So what Klopp asks of these players in matches, but also at training, they train the way they play. You know, a Man City team, for instance, that's a possession-based team. They keep the ball. You know, they're not known really for their high press. You know, this kind of intensity, in my opinion, no one in the world does it as good as Liverpool. So that's a massive ask on top of all the games that they're having to play as well.
Yeah, the other side of it is, though, you've got to buy into it.
Yeah.
So you talk about Szoboszlai there coming into the club. He won't have had this level of details in Leipzig. It'll have been good because the game throughout the world is getting better. But when you go to the top table, suddenly you're watching the other players and you're thinking, is this how it's really done? Is this what it takes to get to that next level? And that is what it takes. Sacrifice. And they've sacrificed so much to get to where they get to. But the level of sacrifice to get to the very, very top is just incredible. But it also takes not just your sacrifice. If you've got a wife or a girlfriend or kids, it's a level of sacrifice where you almost part them to the side for a bit.
It's an obsession, isn't it? You have to be obsessed.
But they've got to understand that as well and go, we back you and we're happy for you to do that, because they love the success on the field as well as much as you do, and that's a huge part of it as well. So it becomes like a team behind the team as well, like in your house or throughout the family and the support network that you get.
There's also that element of marginal gains, isn't there, to use that kind of phrase that gets thrown around. It's eking out those incremental improvements in all the different areas that when you combine them make you better than the teams around you. And that's what's been very good within this recent Liverpool team. They've managed to squeeze the most out of every part of the team and every player within the team, and that's what's enabled them to be successful, and that is what is enabling them to be successful this season. The kids have been part of that. He's had to call on the youth, and they've delivered.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. There's no excuses now. There's everything out there. You know, I know I go back to the women's team, but obviously them being at Melwood now, I say to the girls, there's no excuses. You have everything for you now, you know, so to allow you to be able to perform. And it's the same in the men's game, and it's been like that for many, many years. It's obviously different development time and scale, but there's no excuse. And I think as players yourself, you want to walk away from your career having no regrets, nothing that you haven't done to make yourself better. And I think you can see with the physiques of these players now, they are like finely tuned athletes. You know, the game has changed, the intensity's changed, and they've got, like Stephen said earlier, everyone supporting them, you know, to allow them to reach their highs. And then it's down to them, you know, whether they want it that bit extra. And I think the group of players we have do want it.
Go back a couple of years, Liverpool were fighting on four fronts then. Couldn't quite get over the line in all of them. What lessons do you think Jürgen learnt from that will help him this time round, if anything?
I think towards the end of that, I think it was the Wolves game at home, wasn't it? Was it the last game? I'm sure it was Wolves.
Wolves, yes, last game of the season, couldn't win the league. Well, could have won the
could
league.
Could have won the league. I remember watching that game thinking, we're not going to win this game. We looked shattered. Like, so tired on the pitch, and I'm thinking, going into a Champions League game, we won't get anywhere near it. It was just like the players were physically drained, and I think that's where the rotation comes in, and maybe time off or things like that, different preparation leading into the big games towards the end of the season. I think you'll see a lot more rotation towards the end. So, whereas Jürgen's at times being... He'll make changes in the 80th minute or the 70th minute. I think you'll start to see changes like 55, 60 minutes, where he gets players off to give them the rest or get fresh legs on quicker. But I think this squad's got more depth.
Yeah.
I really do. I think once you get the likes of Trent back, Alisson and Jota, whoever else is coming back, you've got a lot of players to come back into the team. Once you get that depth back in, then you can change it more often and you can make it a lot more fresh. I think that was just the side of it where I was watching the latter stages of that quadruple push, thinking, I've got the legs here.
It'd be interesting to actually ask Jürgen privately what he made of the depth he has now compared to then. So obviously some notable names have moved on, guys who were absolute stick-ons to start. But I wonder if he thinks if you scratch beneath the surface now, he's got more to call on generally. We've seen the way he's been able to rotate players more regularly this season, partly through necessity, but also through choice at times.
Yeah, and I think as well, the way the game is now, there's more youth. You know, for me, I'm a big one on it's important to have your experienced players, your experienced, the heads, the players that have been there, done that. But I think if you look at the squad this year, there is a lot more youngsters, fresh legs, energy, you know, so you haven't just got the squad depth, but you've also got the players that, you know, it's all new to them. You know, it's that excitement of being around the Liverpool first team. You know, this is a big experience and learning curve for a lot of players here, but I think that's probably the most exciting thing is the youth and the legs that you've got in this squad this year.
I think there's another side where you go, what's the best thing to have? Is it experience? But experience often can lead to knowing failure hurts.
Mm. Yeah.
So when you look at it, whereas youthfulness There's a lack of fear at times.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that can play in your favour. But sometimes you need the experience to get through those games.
Yeah.
And the youth can struggle in those games because they don't have the experience. That's the blend that's got to be right. And that's so difficult to find. But obviously, you've got a genius at the helm who's trying to master that and make sure he can make it work this time.
He seems to have a knack at getting the right blend at the right time. I just wonder as well how much he's helped by the fact that this year he's not had the demands of the Champions League. And at times, not to dismiss the Europa League, some of the games have allowed more rotation, more easing off through the course of matches than he would have been able to do if it was in the top competition, because the teams are too good. You don't get that wriggle room in the group stage.
No, I think that's a fair point. You know, I think, let's be honest, the Champions League is more competitive. You've got better teams. You probably would have had to have played your stronger starting 11 more often than not. So, yes, you could say that's gone in our favour. But I think Stephen made a great point. You have to play what's in front of you, and I think we've done that pretty well this season.
My only argument would be, all those games now, you get to a period now, so see, you get to, like, from now onwards, this is the hardest part of the season. It's not just a physical aspect, it's mentally. Mm-hmm. Because going into training, not every day, but pretty much every day, for the last 6 months is tough. It's grueling, because you know you're going in and you're going to run every single day, or you're going to work hard every single day, and you're going to have to be playing at an intensity that is like sky high, into ridiculous levels to maintain throughout the season. And it's incredible that you don't actually get a bigger drop off in that. So to be able to continue that. But when we look at the draw now for the Europa League final stages, do you think Liverpool can walk to that final?
No.
But that's the thing, the quality now at this stage of the competition has gone up a notch.
But also as well, you take into consideration the FA Cup. Well, the better teams are still in it towards the end, so the games become harder. Then you start to bring in extra time into games and things like that. So suddenly you're asking the players to do more in a short space of time, under more pressure, having done already 6 months of work to get to that point. That's where the fatigue starts to slowly come in. The only way you get rid of that fatigue is by winning. And that breeds confidence, and it keeps that fatigue away for as long as it can. But that's the difficult part, and that's why it's so tough towards the end. Almost them group stages don't really matter in a way. It's the latter end.
Stephen's mentioned the quarter-final opponents Liverpool could face. It's worth us then just reminding you who they could be. We now know the lineup for the last eight, the draw of which, of course, takes place in Neon tomorrow at around about midday. Atalanta, Benfica, Leverkusen, Marseille, AC Milan, Roma and West Ham are alongside Liverpool in the draw for that next round. I guess that is the point, though, and it's a particularly relevant one, I think, that winning is the thing that breeds the confidence and keeps you going. I felt that from the cup final, it was almost like there was an injection of belief. It lifted everyone because it felt like Liverpool had kind of had to find a way through matches, through injury, through all kinds of different setbacks in the months leading up to that. And then through the cup final, it's like, you know, we've broken through a barrier now. We've won something. The kids have contributed. This is a massive step for us. And now it's like, we want more of this. Let's enjoy it. And it's kind of harnessing that now, isn't it? It's managed to keep going since then. It's about kind of keeping that in their grasp for the rest of the campaign.
Yeah, and I think you're always going to have moments throughout the season where potentially you're playing well, you're winning. Like you said, I think we went through a period where potentially performances weren't there, but we were finding results, we were scrapping results. Then the final came, and I think you're spot on. I actually think now we are performing. You know, the performances are high and the results are there as well. So I feel like we're in the perfect spot right now. But it's hard, isn't it? You want to say, look, just getting 3 points is the key thing. But I do think performance is key as well right now with what we've got coming up, where we are at the end of the season. I do think you want to be performing and getting results. And we are, you know, we really are. And I think you're spot on with that. I think the final was a huge turning point in the season with regards to going another level now.
But speaking about the next round of this competition, the other teams, the other seven teams, well, I've looked at the scoreline here tonight, looked at what Liverpool have done, and go, we don't want to play them. That's the reality of it, is Liverpool will be the team that everyone else wants to avoid. I just wondered, you know, looking at those teams we could face, is there a preferable route through, or does it not really matter now? Because effectively, they're all kind of Champions League group stage quality sides now left in the competition?
I think you just take who you get. There's no point in even worrying about it, going, God, we'd like to get them and hope that they knock them out. Just go and beat them. You're Liverpool. I mean, I think you still look at it and say Manchester City are arguably the best team. But having looked at the weekends, you'd probably argue against that now. But Liverpool, Arsenal and City are, for me, the best teams in Europe at the moment. So why can't you go and beat whoever's left in the competition? Again, you'd fancy anyone over two legs. I think that's a big thing as well. Even if you go away from home and you get a draw or you get a victory, bringing them back here, it's just a completely different story. It really is. And teams will be petrified of coming here.
Is there an argument to avoid the all-English tie in terms of the complications it brings? It brings added baggage to it. And also, I guess, a Leverkusen tie, because, again, that will bring all these other narratives into play, which will become a distraction from the football itself for both managers, probably.
I think Stephen said it. You know, I think you take what you get. I think that Jürgen and the way he is with the players is they're very good at ignoring those things, aren't they? They don't get involved in the stories behind the scenes. You know, that it sounds very cliche, but they are the ultimate professionals. They've got a job to do, is to win a game of football. You know, I think they let the media do all the kind of storytelling. You know, for them, it's they've got their little circle, the little bubble, you know, that they're in at training, you know, at the AXA training ground. So, look, you can talk about all the different narratives, but I don't think they see it like that at all. You know, they've got a job to do. They want to win this cup, you know, and they'll go and do that the professional way like they always do.
We can get the thoughts of the boss now. Here's what Jurgen Klopp has had to say to the media in his post-match press conference.
We spoke yesterday about not giving Sparta any kind of a sniff early on, and you made sure of that pretty early on in the game as well. So how do you assess what you saw from your players today?
No, exactly that. We spoke about that obviously today in the team meeting. I said I don't expect us to lose 5-0 and you get knocked out, but it's a sold-out stadium. Everything is prepared for a really good football game. We decide if we get through somehow or if we play a really good game, and there's so many reasons why you should try to play a really good game, sorry. And then the boys started the game incredibly well, so we were really, really after them, at them, whatever, however you want to call it, and scored wonderful goals. 4-0 after 15 or 14 minutes is really strange. And from that moment on, it became a strange game, because how can you now stay greedy and these kind of things? It's just, everybody knows, we have, in that moment, probably everybody thought, okay, we have other games to come and stuff like this. So we tried as well at half-time, changing early. Robbo on centre-half, Joey, precaution, Darwin, precaution. None of them was necessary to take off. It's just, obviously, Sunday is another game, so that's the moment when we start thinking as well. So when we start thinking like that, the boys think like that as well. But still, good game, entertaining. I think, obviously, we all had different atmosphere at Anfield, but I'm really happy for all of us, crowd included, that this was not as nerve-wracking as it usually is. So everybody can go home with a normal heart rate. And that's how it should be from time to time. We'll not stay like this. So Sunday already, it'll be a different game. And now we have 3 days to try to make sure to be ready for that.
A big moment for the new and a big moment for the old. Bobby Clark getting his first goal for Liverpool. And Mo Salah has now become the first Liverpool player to score 20 goals or more in 7 consecutive seasons.
Yeah, both is now the second. That is now not really surprising, because he's an outstanding player. So Mo is a special story today, because it was not a plan that he plays 90 minutes. Told him the plan was to take him off in a moment when we brought Mateusz, but then Bobby sat in front of me, so it was clear we cannot do that now. So Bobby has to come off, and then but Mo is experienced enough that he recovered already during the game. I told him not to defend anymore. I don't think I ever said that to a player. That, by the way, Mo, that's different on Sunday. And Bobby, it's really nice to see the boys develop and flourish, to be honest. And that was a top performance of Bobby. So, like, a real performance. The goal, yes, but the did he set up whichever goal with winning the ball back up high? So really high press situation, top, and then controlling a football game with all the excitement inside. But he definitely still has. It's fantastic. So he's the only one we worry a little bit. I hope it's nothing, but he sat there and said he felt something, so we had to take him off. Besides that, everybody else should be fine.
I just wanted to ask, didn't you feel a little sorry for Sparta at times during the game?
Yeah, but not because, look, I'm obviously a coach myself, and I've spoken now to Brian, and there's a quality difference. That was before the game clear, and it's always like this, if the team with a higher quality shows good attitude, what we did, then it will be tricky. So where's the chance? At the long time in my life, obviously worked for a smaller club, not that Sparta a small club, but I work in Germany for a smaller club with Mainz. So you can win games, but you need a little bit help up to your opponent. We didn't give any help. So we were really had the boys showed a top attitude, and so it was difficult. And we all know how these things can go. It's now a tough week for Sparta, but my feeling is the way the supporters enjoyed the trip at least, and how they behaved at the home game when we were there, which was great. So now the rest of the season starts, and they can fight for the title. And if they deal in the right way with it, but I'm not in doubt about, then it can help as well. So that's how it is.
Just on Mo, just the statistic of 20 goals 7 years in a row, how impressive is the consistency to do it year in, year out?
I work since... 7 years now, 8 years, I don't know, together, 7 years probably. 7 years together with him. So there was one problem we never had was consistency. Mo is just delivering. His desire doesn't stop. His quality is anyway there, but then his desire to score just doesn't stop. And he improved in so many aspects since he started here. So that's how it is. He will not stop. So I'm less surprised than maybe some others. I thought it already happened, to be honest, in that season, but he was now injured for a while, and that's why he couldn't do that. Otherwise, it would have happened, obviously, in January or February. So great, very good, and how is that? Great to have him back.
And I guess our attention now turns to what lies ahead, which is Manchester United at the weekend. And this will be difficult, Stephen. You know, take out the fact that Manchester United find themselves, 8 points off the Champions League places just now, and haven't been consistently good this season. They still have good players. They've been in decent form since the turn of the year. They've lost twice in 2024. And also, this is kind of their season, is it not? This competition, and also derailing Liverpool.
Yeah, and you look back as well, and there's a team who came to Anfield and kept a clean sheet. No one else has done that. Found it difficult. I know it's away at Old Trafford, but you know that they're going to just park the bus. They're not good enough. Not good enough to go toe-to-toe.
Do you think they'll be that?
100%, they'll play counter-attacking football because they don't know anything else at the moment. If they come out and play, they'll get battered. They get absolutely battered in the game because they're not good enough to do it. There's massive concerns about, for me anyway, about Ten Hag's tactics and how he sets his team up and how they play. They're so negative. They'll invite pressure on, whether they can soak it up and take the chances on that. They've got danger. That's the problem. Whether Rashford's in form or not, he's still a danger with that pace that he's got. Garnacho's playing okay. Hoyland, hopefully he'll be out because he's the best player that they've got in front of goal. I actually like him. I know he's been on a bit of a run of goals, but he struggled early on in the season. But they're frail. They're really frail, and you've got to take advantage of that. And if you were to come here and the game was here, you know the crowd would be electric here. They'll be nervous at Old Trafford because there'll be an expectation of we're going to get beat here. There's almost an expectancy that they're going to get beat. It's just how many they're going to get beat by. There's not a sense of we can do Liverpool today. We can win this game. And that's like plays into Liverpool's hands massively.
Yeah, they're still suffering. There are scars, aren't there, from some of the recent results that Liverpool have inflicted on. They are still pretty near the surface.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about nil-nils, you kind of think, oh, there was no chance. Let's be honest, that was a nil-nil game. You know, on another day, that could have been the 7-1 scoreline that we beat them before. So I think as a player, when you're going to Old Trafford, having played them and the amount of chances we did create, that's the hardest thing, creating chances and obviously putting the ball in the back of the net. But like Zobosai said earlier, I think it's 35 chances now. They have to put them away, and I'm very confident. It won't be an easy game, like I said, but I'm confident enough that we'll go and do them at Old Trafford.
And that is it from Stephen, Natasha and I on this latest episode of The Reaction. Do join us again after Sunday's tasty FA Cup quarter-final against Manchester United, and we'll bring you more analysis and interviews from Old Trafford. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. We'll see you next time.